There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's Wednesday and you're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tim has the week off, but he will be back with us Monday for Parashare and Supernatural News and all of the other great programming lists that we put together for you for next week. Let me mention real quickly, tomorrow, Southern Scares, Savannah Haunts with Chris Allen. We'll talk about some of the weirder stories of Savannah, Georgia. And then on Friday, The Extra Dimensionals, True Tales of Alien Visitors. John D'Souza will be my guest. He's a former FBI agent, and he's got some great information to share with us. That is Friday, plus a brand new Theater of the Mind. That's what's going on. Now, let me address something real quickly before we get to tonight's show. Folks, when we do this show, we are recording and our guests are often at home, recording on their home phone or from their Skype computer and their monitors. And I just don't want you to feel slighted or unloved by me for not getting back to all of your emails regarding EVP, electronic voice phenomena, that you hear during the show. Now, in some cases, there is weird stuff that happens, and we will get voices. But you also have to remember that as I speak with my guest and they're at home, they may have a loved one in the other room talking to somebody. They may cough or whisper to somebody that's in the room with them, you know. So there's always that chance that that's what's going on. I just want to give you that heads up because I'm getting emails constantly. Oh my God, did you guys hear that? Right after you asked her that question, there was this whispery voices. Again, sometimes it's just as simple as somebody in the background at their home, or maybe somebody in the studio, Tim giving me a quick direction and whispered, and you just caught a tail end of the whisper. So don't worry about it. If you hear something really dark and creepy, you can always point it out to me because we have caught electronic voice phenomena on the show before. But that's very few and far between. I'm getting an email or three or 10 a day from people that claim to hear things in the background. A lot of you that are new and found us here on Podcast One, this might be new to you and you think that you're hearing that. But again, just keep in mind that a lot of the background sounds are dogs and cats, the kids in the yard, something going on at our guest's home. So that's all that you're really hearing on that, okay? All right, let's get with it. Tonight, we have A Paranormal Life, The Good, The Bad, and The Aliens. Joining us this evening to talk about her harrowing experiences with the supernatural, MJ Meyer. MJ, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I know this is something unique because you've held these stories and these experiences in for a long time before you decided to come forward and start to open up about what's been going on in your world, right?
That's correct.
Let's start at the very beginning, because as Julie Andrews taught us, that's a very good place to start. How old were you when paranormal phenomena began to be noticeable around you?
I think I was probably about four or five years old. And what I attribute it to is my mother and her friends in the neighborhood had a Ouija board, and I did not know anything about it, too young to know anything about it. And, you know, they played with it, and it seemed like it was, and I didn't know anything about it. I put this all together later as I was writing this book.
Sure.
But it seemed like when they started playing with this Ouija board is when the dark things start happening. There's always been a friendly light presence guardian of sort, but once they brought that Ouija board in and started playing with it, that's when the darkness came.
And how old were you when that started?
Probably about five.
Okay, 5 years old. Now, you have conscious memory of that time. You remember the Ouija board. Do you remember who they were trying to communicate with or who they claimed they were talking to at that time?
Well, I didn't find out about the Ouija board until I was much older, and it was just by accident that I found out about it. At the time, they were doing it while the kids weren't around, and as far as I can put together, it seems that it to be that it was just for fun, and it was just for fun until apparently the Ouija board predicted the death of my grandfather in 1967 or 68, I mean, and when that happened, the Ouija board was put away, and I didn't know anything about it until it was brought back out when I was about 11 years old.
All right, and at 11 years old, they bring this board out, and what is the introduction to you like? What do they tell you this board is or can do?
Well, my mother, my oldest brother at the time, he was 18 and he was dating somebody, and he was not telling my parents who he was dating. And my mother, being very snoopy, wanted to know really bad who he was dating. So that's the reason she went ahead and brought that Ouija board out of its hiding place. And it was just mostly, it was supposed to be for fun. And she and my oldest brother were playing with the Ouija board, and she was asking the Ouija, you know, who he was dating. And she was trying to get it to spell out letters and stuff. And I wasn't a part of this at all. I was sitting at the table far away. And the Ouija board, when my older other brother, he was sitting in the living room. And when they heard it laughing, he was making fun of it. And when they heard him laughing, the planchette would fly off the board, and they would put it back in the board, and he'd keep on trying. Then my other brother would start laughing, and it would fly off the board again. And they finally asked the Ouija board, you know, are you angry with the brother sitting in the living room? And it flew up to yes and went off the board and wouldn't do anything else. And that's when I said, oh, this is not good stuff. Not my part of this.
First of all, we need to know, did she get the answer of who your brother was dating?
No, I don't think it ever told her.
Oh, you see, these Ouija boards are useless when it comes to really, really good. Now, if you want to be frightened and have the seventh layer of hell open up, sure, it's a great tool for that. But you want to know who your big brother's dating. Oh, no. Suddenly we got a tight-lipped Ouija board on our hands.
Yeah, no, she really, really, really wanted to know.
And at what point did she tell you, oh, by the way, MJ, this predicted your grandfather's death?
She never did own up to that. That was told to me by my brothers later.
Now, did you ever qualify that with your mom to see if that was true, or were your brothers just screwing with you?
You know, I don't know about your family, but in my family, we didn't, there were just some things you didn't talk to mom about, and that was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you confident that that's what occurred, or do you think your brothers might have been teasing you just to give you a little scare?
Yeah, they seem pretty honest about it. I think they tormented me in many other ways. And, and on this particular subject, they seem to have been very honest about it.
All right. So this starts with the Ouija board again. And you notice that there's something weird that starts taking place after the use of these Ouija boards. What type of activity are we talking about? Were things moving around the house? Were you hearing footsteps or voices?
Well, when I was very little, about 5 years old or so, I became deathly afraid of the basement. And I think what happened was the basement is where she hid that Ouija board. I did not know about it, did not know it was there. But there was a definite change in the atmosphere in that basement. And I just could not stand that. I still don't like that basement. And I would go down there and do what I had to do and run right back up the stairs the whole time, just feeling like there was a dark, evil presence right on my shoulder. I mean, to the point where I would stop and look and there was nothing there. And that presence was just always there.
Okay. So you, in your opinion, the reason that that dark force was there and in the basement was because that's where the Ouija board was kept.
That's what I believe, yes.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. If there was, I mean, aside from it just telling your predicting your grandfather's death, why do you feel that it was negative, or, you know, that there was a dark assessment to that?
Well, because there were other things that were happening besides that. There were several instances where I do believe the thing was leading me to try to be harmed, to do self-harm. Like when I was in kindergarten, I would walk to school with the other neighborhood girls, And there was a crossing where the patrol boy would stand there with his little whistle and blow the whistle when it was okay for us to cross the street. Mm-hmm. And I do remember I had done this several times, so I was used to the sound of that whistle, and I was very diligent. I would not go until I heard that whistle. And I had not heard the whistle, excuse me, and I heard a voice in my ear telling me very forcefully, hurry up and go on. You're in the way. Everybody needs to go on, and you're blocking it. And I didn't hear the whistle, so I wasn't going to go. And the voice kept saying, hurry up. You're in our way. He blew the whistle. Go, go, go. And so being about 5 years old, I figured I better go. So just as I stepped out into a street, I heard the screeching of brakes and a collective gasp. And I looked up just in time to see, all I could see was really yellow because the bus was barreling down on me.
Wow.
And he was braking, trying to avoid me. And at the same time, somebody, something grabbed my collar or my shirt and dragged me back to the side of the road. And nobody said that they were the one that pulled me back. And nobody said they were the one that told me to go ahead and go. And it really, when I think back, I'm not really sure it was any of those girls. They wouldn't have tried to put me in harm. So that was one of the first instances, I think, of this thing trying to influence me to get hurt.
But you didn't recognize this voice at all, right?
No.
All right. So it wasn't like a loved one or anything like that, that it was trying to convince you that it was somebody you knew in order to take advantage of you.
I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I don't believe it was a voice that I recognized.
Okay. All right. So, wow, that is kind of creepy that this thing is trying to hurt you and talk you into doing stupid things, which could lead you to death. Would it ever speak in your head?
Yes, it would. And I know it sounds really crazy, but a little bit before that, I had been in the car with my dad, and I hate to age myself, but back then the seats were one long seat,
right,
and made of vinyl, and it was super slick, and there were no seat belts, no airbags, anything like that. And I do remember a voice in my head saying, it was my dad driving, and I was by the door, and I do remember a voice trying to convince me how beautiful it would look to open the door and see the ground going beneath us, that would be a beautiful sight, and I need to give it a try. And so, I mean, like, I was probably 4 or 5, I mean, at the best, and I remember part of me thinking, this probably isn't something Dad would want me to do. So I was very cautiously and sneakily putting my hand on the doorknob, and he'd kind of look in my direction. I'd stop, just act like everything was cool. And then he would look at the road again, and I kept on going. And the voice again was like, it's going to be beautiful. That road going under that car is just going to be looking really pretty. Go ahead and open the door. And just as I started to open the door, my poor old dad, he looked over and saw me, and the look on his face to this day just kills me. But he grabbed me and slid me back and said, you know, he didn't say anything right away. He pulled over to the side, and he's like, you know, what were you doing? I'm like, I don't know. How can I tell him? A voice in my head was telling me it was going to be really pretty to look at the road.
Right. Well, was any other family member being affected by this at that time that you found out later?
You know, right now, to the best of my knowledge, nobody was affected. My brothers are now in their 60s, and I'm getting ready to take a trip back up home in the next few weeks. And I'm going to ask them, try to, you know, nonchalantly ask them, hey, have you had anything weird happen at the house? But as far as I know, it was just me.
Really? Okay. You're getting these weird voices. You're feeling things around you. You said that there were times you felt like it was chasing you. As a kid, are you opening up to your family about this and telling them you're afraid and that you feel like there's something trying to hurt you?
Well, you know, you only try to confide in people one or two times and get shot down before you just close up. And that's why I think nobody else was experiencing this, because when I tried to share it, mainly I was told, oh, you're dreaming it. It's your imagination. yeah, sure. You know, what have you been drinking? You know, well, Dad did keep a pony keg in the refrigerator when I was little.
Wow, and good household. Yeah, I like that.
And it was very good beer, too, and a Dixie cup. It was great. But so, no, After a while, I didn't confide in anybody. I didn't have anybody to really turn to and talk to this about.
Okay. That's the start of this phenomena in your life. Are you physically seeing anything? Are you seeing shadow people? Are you seeing full-on apparitions, mists, clouds? What are you experiencing in a visual perspective?
In terms of the negative entity, I never saw anything like that. There were many other ways.
I don't even mean necessarily negative. You could have seen an angel, as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, did you see any physical paranormal activity at all?
Well, yeah. In terms of positive things, I have seen positive things also. When my grandfather did die, he did come visit me that night, and I did see him in my room, and I know it was him, and he was able to talk to me telepathically, mm-hmm. you know, to tell me how sorry he was that he had to go, because, you know, I was the youngest grandchild, and that he was sorry he wasn't going to be around to watch me grow up, but it was going to be okay. And that was a very positive moving experience, and I really needed that at that point in time.
Well, MJ, I mean, that must have been an amazing feeling to have that chance to talk to your grandfather one more time. I mean, were you aware he was already passed when he came to you, was this a surprise?
Well, yeah, this was after his funeral, and this was at a very confusing point because I did not understand the concept of death. All I knew the words were Grandpa died. I never had a pet, never had a goldfish to flush. I did not know what death meant. All I knew was everybody was sad. So I really did not understand what was going on. I was confused. I was sad. Scared. So yes, to see him come to me and to talk to me and give me those comforting words, that's something I'll cherish forever, obviously.
Again, the words that he gave you, what did you take from it that meant peace for you?
That he, for one thing, he was being sympathetic with my confusion. That was good. But also that everything would be okay, and that even though I wouldn't see him physically again, that he would really always be around.
Okay. And I need to ask you, I mean, that's a comfort feeling. Do you feel him around? I know you said that there are some positive, almost guardian energies around you. Do you think that he is one of them?
You know, I really don't know, Dave. I mean, it has been like 50 years. There I go aging myself. But
okay.
It's been 50 years. I do feel I have some comforting guardian type angels around. I don't know who all they are. I would like to think he was one of them. I'd like to think my dad was one and some other family members. But I really don't know.
All right. Okay, so we've got a Ouija board in your house that's kind of opening these dark portals. You've got this dark force trying to hurt you, trying to convince you to hurt yourself. But obviously, I mean, it must have been saying it in very reassuring ways, right? Because it wasn't like, kill yourself, jump out the window, MJ. It was just, oh, the ground would be so beautiful to see as you're driving by, MJ. Wouldn't that be beautiful? You should do that, right? It was more of like that kind of.
Yeah, it was, you know, the great deceiver. So the voice really made it sound like a very intriguing thing to do, a beautiful thing to do. The one time that I did try self-harm, I don't really remember a voice. It was like, for lack of a better term, it was like a possession where I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And remember, I'm scared of that basement. But somehow I ended up down in the basement near my dad's tool bench. And there was a screwdriver on that tool bench. And I remember, well, there you go. There's the nice words again. The words that came in and said, well, that's a pretty screwdriver. I wonder what that would feel like to die by a screwdriver being inserted in my belly. So, but I don't remember actually putting my hand up there and grabbing it. It was just like something else was in control of me at that point in time and reached up and grabbed that screwdriver. And I kept hearing, you know, the thought in my head, I wonder how far I would have to push this in to die. Gee, I wonder if it would hurt when I die.
And how old were you at this age?
I was about 7.
Yeah, those are just not thoughts that should be in a child's mind.
Oh, no, and I was not a suicidal child by any stretch of the imagination. I like to sit out in the fields and pick flowers, you know. So as this screwdriver is getting pushed further and further into my belly, I feel another presence coming in, and it's the good presence. And the next thing I know, there's a tug of war with my arm, and the good is trying to pull the screwdriver away from my belly, and the bad's trying to push it in. And next thing I know, that screwdriver is flying through the air and flies back onto the workbench. And I was just like, what in the world just happened? And why am I here?
So in essence, you're having this mortal combat with your own hand.
Yeah.
So to the outside world, it looks like you're ready to stab yourself and then pulling it away. And this internal battle is going on for your physicality and your soul.
You said it exactly. It was a battle for my soul, I believe.
Wow.
Yes.
That's. I know this is going to be a tough question because you were 7 years old, but obviously you remember that moment. What did it feel like to realize MJ's not in control here? Something is moving your body without help.
I don't know that I really could articulate it that well in my head. I just was like, what in the world? It wasn't me. What in the world was going on? And I was scared to death, and I took out off running out of that basement and didn't go back down there for a long time.
All right. So this malevolent force seemed to really kind of reside in the basement. Were there any deaths in that house that you're aware of?
Oh, no, there wasn't. My dad actually built that house.
Okay.
He broke the ground for it, and he built it with his own two hands. So as far as I know, it was just it was farmland with cows. I know there was a strong Indian presence at one point in time in the past, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I've gone back to try to research that land, and I really can't find anything out about it.
Interesting. Well, you can always check diedinhouse.com. Diedinhouse.com. And maybe if you can find a land parcel number or so, they might be able to help you find that. And I think it's like $11 or $12. I recommend to people that all the time. If they think maybe somebody died in their house, they have pretty good accurate records. It'll tell you on a piece of property if there are any records that date back to that. And now joining up with things like newspaper.com and a couple of these other archives, if you start looking up by your city name, mysterious death, you know, Oakdale, Minnesota, it may start finding stories, and you can start to pinpoint if anything took place in or around your property.
Well, that's a very good idea. I'll do that.
And the other thing is, talk, as you continue to do this research, look into what native tribes might have been populating that area.
Yes.
Are you already aware of which tribes that would be?
I thought it was the Cherokee, but that seems like we were too far north for Cherokee, so I'm not really sure. I'll have to go back and check that again.
Well, yeah, double check with that, and then I will speak to somebody of that origin and see if they might have some insight for you. Explain what kind of dark energies, what kind of weird things were taking place in your home and that there was no deaths there, so you're not sure why this would be going on. And you know, your father may have broken the ground for that, or your grandfather may have broken the ground, whoever it was, to build that house, but it's not saying that maybe during that there was an unearthing and something came up.
Yeah, good points.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Okay, so that's kind of your indoctrination. That's the beginning of this creep fest. So five years old is when you start to have these memories and know what's going on. 7 years old, it continues on. And is this something that sticks with you in the entire time you've lived in this house?
It eased up when I turned 12 years old.
Okay.
I went through the rite of confirmation with the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like after I went through confirmation, it seemed like it really eased up. It didn't attack me as much. I knew where it lived. I avoided it. Sometimes it seemed to follow me around to different homes, but it really, really eased up on the attacks after that point in time.
Did you feel that it was the same energy that was following you around?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember going to, I think I was about 17, and it was during the recession of the 1970s, and there was no work to be had. So I would clean my grandmother's house and cut her grass and all that kind of stuff. And my grandmother's house, I believe it followed me up there. And there were some areas in her house that I was absolutely terrified of. I could feel the same sort of presence in those certain areas of her house that I felt in my house.
All right. What other type of attacks were you enduring from age 7 to 12? Was it something that was regular on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly? How was it happening?
It seemed like it was at least on a monthly, if not bi-monthly basis.
Okay.
It didn't like to keep a schedule. It liked to, you know, get the element of surprise. And one of the most terrifying events that I can recall, it happened when, I don't know, maybe I was about 9, and I had laid down to go to bed. And, I mean, I wasn't even asleep. I had just laid down. And this, the only way I can describe it, is a cold claw. It felt like a claw with talons on it. Grabbed me from the headboard, and it grabbed my head and snapped it back and held my head back. And I could not get my head up. And it seemed like I was fighting this thing for, it seemed like at least 20 minutes, maybe less than that. I was terrified.
Right.
And by the time I was able to get out from under its claw, and I would run out to the living room, and I'd say, you know, there's something in there. Something just happened to me. Now, 9 years old, you're not like 4 saying there's a monster under the bed.
Right.
You know, there really was something going on. And so when I would run out to the living room and said, you know, there's something going on in there. And they're like, oh, you were just dreaming. You fell asleep and you were dreaming it. It's like, no. And, you know, I've heard of the old hag syndrome,
right,
and that sort of thing. And this didn't really fit that. And
no, because this wasn't a paralyzed situation. This was more like something was literally clawing at you, trying to hurt you.
Yes, it was clawing, holding my head down. But maybe a year or two ago, I was listening to another show where they were interviewing a survivor of, demonic or whatever infestation. And she had said in her experience, she had the same thing. And that's the first time I had ever heard anyone describe exactly what I went through.
Hmm.
So it made me feel reassured that I wasn't totally crazy.
Did this leave any physical marks on you at all?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, that's a good thing at least. And now, being a child growing up in a house, did you ever have friends spend the night or relatives that would also have these close encounters?
No, I really didn't have friends over too often. And the one
so
I did
you were really
have,
isolated by all of this.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I went to a Catholic school, and, you know, you just don't go into your school room and say, hey, you know, I think I've got a devil in the house, you know, or anything like that.
Why not? You big chicken, do it.
Yeah, I had not even heard the word exorcism until The Exorcist came out in, I guess it was 73. So
welcome to Show and Tell, MJ. Your arm is up. What did you bring? I brought a demonic force from home.
Hello, everybody. I'm Beelzebub, and today I'll be peeling your skin back.
That would have made you the talk of the town.
I would have been popular at school, wouldn't
well,
I?
Your definition of popular and mine are two different things, but sure, why not? Let's go with popular. Wow. All right. And were you opening up to friends about this? Anybody at school, teachers, counselors?
Not a person. I didn't tell anybody any of this until this year.
Really?
Yes.
What was the genesis of you coming forward at this point in your life?
Well, about a year ago, I had a health crisis, and it was really kind of touch and go on whether I was going to survive or not. And once I realized, you know, everything stabilized and I was going to be okay, I got to thinking about all these events that have happened in my life that I've not told anybody. And so I thought, you know, there's so much to tell that I can't do it all in one evening. I'm going to need to put this in a book for my kids.
Right.
So, you know, they'll have something to read and know, you know, there was something going on. Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Let's do this. We need to take a break, and we'll come back. The good, the bad, and the aliens. How does this come together? We've heard the bad. We've heard a few flitters of good. When we return with our guest, we'll start to hear about the aliens and how they began to interfere in her life. We'll do that when we return to Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
And we're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Beyond the Darkness is on the air. Folks, I'm going to give you a little fair warning. We do record these shows in advance. And tonight, we have had a lot of really weird activity going on. We have had multiple stops and starts, and due to the magic of editing and Tim's magic fingers, he was able to stitch and piece this back together. So you might hear some weird abrupt ends and rejoiners. Please forgive us. This is very strange, but according to my guest, a natural occurrence in her life where things seem to continue to interfere. In doing the show for 12 years, we've had some weird hiccups during the show. We tried to record the show 2 days ago, and we were having massive issues. Tonight, we were clipping along fine, and about 10 minutes into the interview, her audio dropped out. We got everything back up. Her audio dropped out again after about another 10 minutes. And it's the next segment we recorded, my voice was dropping in and out. So hopefully we've got it all figured out now. And again, Tim is doing his best to magically equalize and make us sound as good as possible. Somewhere from his bunker underground in the Nevada desert, I think, is where he's hiding out while he's recouping. So a big thanks to Tim for doing what he can to make this better. My paranormal life, the good, the bad, and the aliens. Our guest tonight, MJ Myers. She grew up in a small town in southern Indiana, the youngest of three children. Her family were devoted Catholics and attended parochial school from kindergarten through eighth grade. But after graduating from high school, Jeanette attended and graduated nursing school, then moved to Memphis, Tennessee with her first husband. And we're talking to her about this very strange series of events that took place beginning at around the age of five. And continuing on, our guest this evening, MJ Myers. MJ, are they still going on? Are you still plagued by strange paranormal phenomena?
Yes, strange things still happen. It's not quite to the level of darkness that it was before. I've learned how to protect myself psychically and how to keep the house cleansed in terms of spiritual. And so weird things do happen, but nothing really dark.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and weird stuff like tonight. Do you have a lot of weird electronic issues like this?
Oh, all the time. I cannot keep cell phones. I cannot use watches. My husband had to get me a static floor mat put under my desk before he would let me touch computers because I have torn up so many computers with just my aura, I don't know, electrical charge or something, but I have to use the mat before I can touch a computer.
All right. Now, this is a tough question, but if I don't ask it, my listeners will be all over me. Hearing these voices, dealing with the things you've done, did you ever feel at any point that maybe you were going crazy?
That's a good question. And, you know, I think I kept myself so busy that I didn't think about it too much. Yes, weird things happened, but between going to school, getting married, having children, moving 7 times in 7 years, I really just think I pushed it to the background and didn't think about it.
Times in 7 years? What are you, a witness relocation program?
Trying to get away from those bad entities, I guess.
Right.
You know, in your younger years, you do a lot of moving. So, but I wanted my kids to see this written down in a book, because if I just sat down and told them this, some of the stuff, they would certainly think I'd lost my mind.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and I understand. I mean, that's something that a lot of people start to hear this and it sounds so fantastical. They think you're crazy.
Exactly.
And I speak to a lot of people like you who've had experiences and they begin to even question their own sanity. That's why I was curious if you'd ever been evaluated for a mental condition of bipolar or depression, manic depression, anything along those lines. Are you on any medications at all?
Not those sort of medications, no. Okay. I've never had a psychiatric issue.
Sure.
I did go to nursing school and somehow was sane enough to go through that. And then I went through law school. And, of course, you do a lot of background checking and everything with that. I've not really had anybody question my sanity in all the jobs I've had. So I never really considered myself as nuts.
We'll leave that up to the listeners to decide by the end of the show, MJ. Okay, so a lot of this you believe stemmed from the beginning of your life by people around you playing with the Ouija board and perhaps opening portals and sending things out. But isn't it intriguing that they were the one doing this, but the attachment found you?
Well, I think part of that was because I was the youngest, and I think the youngest is always the most vulnerable, that you can get into their head easier probably that way. I think the rest of my family, from what I have seen of them, I think they're just so closed off to any sort of possibility of something like this existing that I think even if the demon tried, I don't think that they would recognize it as being a problem.
Okay. How did this start to progress from ghosts and maybe the demonic realm into aliens?
Yeah, that was a totally separate issue. Mm-hmm. So back in 1973, I was 12 years old, and for a 2-week period there, I would wake up every morning with bloody lips. And at the time, I also had a planter in my room that had several potted plants on it, and those would always be knocked over. There was dirt all over the floor, and I would tell my mom about, I got these bloody lips, and she'd say, bit yourself in the middle of the night or something. So after about 2 weeks of this, when it finally ended was one dramatic night where I don't know if I was being abducted. I couldn't tell you that. I have no recollection of that whatsoever. Right. But I do remember waking up in my bed and a bright light shining through the curtains. And I was incredibly terrified of this light. And I couldn't get away from it. And it seemed like whatever was behind that light was not something good. And after that, it didn't happen again. And so I thought, okay, maybe I was dreaming. Maybe I was biting my lips in the middle of the night. But just recently, I discovered through some research that in 1973, there was a huge UFO flap across the nation and I guess across the world also. And I started doing some digging into the reports in Indiana. And just in my little hometown, there's an article I pulled off newspaper.com, as you said earlier. And this article talked about how inundated the police force was one particular night with UFO calls.
Hmm.
And then I looked some more, and there were some more reports around the surrounding area that whole summer of 73. So apparently I wasn't alone in what people were experiencing.
Wow, but it definitely had, whatever it was, found you. And I wonder if are you standing out to this alien race because of your openness to the paranormal and what was going on? Why do you believe your lips were bloody? Were you making out with aliens all night or what, MJ?
Oh, that's pretty good, Dave.
I have no... an alien and I liked it.
Oh, I have no idea what they were doing. People talk about having other areas of their body worked on. I've not heard anybody saying anything about their lips.
Right.
But that was the very first experience. The second time I saw a UFO was in 1996, and that was while I was driving down the interstate, and I saw it flying overhead, and I thought, well, that's really weird. That doesn't look like a plane, and I watched it for a little bit, and the sun moved around, and it still stayed the same, and after it shot out of my view, here comes the screaming Air Force planes chasing it, and of course, it went out of my view, and I didn't see any further, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I didn't think anything more about that. And then the last time, and I hope it's the last time, I don't want to see him anymore, the last time was in 2003, and a friend of mine and my husband, we were going to go to a cemetery and just, do some ghost hunting kind of thing, and we weren't thinking about aliens or UFOs or anything like that, And it just happened to be the blue moon, and it was also a total eclipse of the moon. So we got to the cemetery, and we didn't need flashlights because it was so bright with that full moon. And we were getting out of the car and getting our gear and everything, and we glanced up to see if the eclipse had started. And about that time, I kid you not, we saw this craft, and it was at least 2 football lengths long or wide, and it was a boomerang-shaped craft. And it was very silent, slowly glided over us. And, you know, it's like you see in the movies. You just, you're so astonished at what you're seeing that you stupidly forget you got a camera in your hand.
Right.
And so all three of us had cameras, and none of us took a picture of this thing.
Well, why would you? nobody would believe you anyway, MJ. Why bother taking a picture? That's kind of the point I'm at in my life. I'm pretty sure if I whipped out a camera and Bigfoot was giving me the bird, he'd be blurry, and people would think I just had Tim dressed up in a fur costume standing in the backyard. There'd be no winning at this point, aside from knocking him down and dragging him in to prove that Bigfoot was here. So you've seen these craft, but do you believe that you've been dealing with aliens in particular?
I hope not. I have no recollection of it. I don't want to recollect it if it happened. I've just, you know, heard so many gruesome things, and I hope that I never was. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll do a hypnosis and find out.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're doing so much right now in opening it up. What's holding you up? What is the fear?
With the alien, I don't know. I just haven't gotten around to doing it.
Just haven't gotten around. Okay.
Nope.
Now, the paranormal, the ghosts and demons, is it fair to say that? Do you believe that you have been plagued by a demon, or do you think it's just a nasty or mean ghost that you've been haunted by all these years?
I really think it's a demon. I think it's something that came in with that first experience with the Ouija board. And, you know, the reason I say it is because of that clawed hand, or that claw that was holding me down. You know, I could feel the nails on it. I really don't think it was an upset ghost. I really think it was more of a demonic nature.
Okay. Well, you know, I've met a lot of women with those long, creepy fingernails who even in life are kind of scary looking to me, and if they grabbed your head right, it could give you that impression. Why come forward now? Why did you feel this was the important point to start to share your story?
Well, because of the fact that of the health scare I had, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to pass away and my children not hear any of these experiences that happened to me. My children are also very scientifically minded,
sure.
and I think they don't really perhaps believe in the spiritual realm, and I want them to know that there is something else out there, and I want them to be respectful of it and, you know, to guard themselves against any possible thing happening to them.
When you told your children about this, how did they respond? What was their thoughts?
Really, they were a lot more open than what I thought they would be. My son, when he was living at home, he had a few experiences too. And so he's more realizing and accepting that there is something else there. My daughter, she also experienced some things in this house. And so I think they probably are more aware of a spiritual presence. I don't know if they really are. They're not really into protecting themselves, or I don't know.
But they're not afraid.
I think my son would probably be afraid, but he would not admit it for anything.
Okay.
I think my daughter is more not. She's not afraid. I think she's more amazed at things that starts to happen with her. So I don't think she's afraid. I think she's like, oh, my goodness, you know, something happened. So.
All right. What other type of activity have you dealt with? I mean, has it always been pretty scary? Are there other scary moments that you haven't even touched on yet?
Well, I have had experiences with ghosts. And one of the most strange experiences was at a cousin's house. They lived in an old farmhouse in Indiana, and it was an old brick home that was made during the Civil War, and it was actually a stop on the Underground Railroad. And so this house had hollow walls where they would hide slaves. And so as kids, we were not allowed to go into these areas, but we could knock on the walls to figure out which way the tunnels went and everything. So when I was at their house, I was in one particular room, and this room was always freezing. You know, and they didn't have central air because it was, you know, in the 70s, and they didn't have an air conditioner in there. And in the middle of summer, it would still just be so cold. And I was in that room one time by myself, and I just all of a sudden realized there was something in there with me. And I looked around. I couldn't see anything, but I knew I was not alone. And about that time, I could feel this energy just come running at me, and I couldn't move, and it ran right through me. And you talk about cold. I mean, it is like being frozen from the inside out. And again, I didn't tell anybody about it, but it was a very frightening experience.
Have you done anything to try to clear yourself of this energy?
Yes, I've, you know, done some cleansing with sage, regular churchgoer. And like I said, at this point in time.
Do you discuss this with your priest or preacher?
No.
Well, no. Well, they're the people that are there to help you, MJ. Oh, yeah. I sprinkle a little Morton salt around the house, and I read a couple of incantations from the Bewitched Handbook, and I hope that that works. Well, maybe it'd be a good idea to talk to somebody about this.
Well, at this point in time, there's nothing negative bothering me. So I'm okay with whatever happens around here nowadays. It's not a scary thing. It's just like, oh, there it is again. You know, it's not anything scary. So
when you opened up to your husband about this,
yeah,
did he roll his eyes? Did he believe what you had to say? Does he believe it now?
Oh, thank goodness he did not roll his eyes. He probably wouldn't be able to be seeing out of them right now if he did. No, I'm just kidding, honey. But no, he totally believed me. And he's actually lived through some of the experiences with me. Mm-hmm. And when he realized he could not explain what he was experiencing in this house, he realized this is real. So when he realized it was real and we started having a cleansing done with the house and then things got better. Oh, yeah. Should also mention it started with my daughter bringing in a Ouija board into this house.
Oh, really?
That's what opened up the experiences here.
Okay. And how did you find that out?
Well, when we started having all kinds of weird experiences and then the kids start seeing things. And
what were the kids seeing?
Well, they were hearing a stool being dragged across the kitchen floor. I would hear it too. I thought it was them, but it wasn't. They would hear that, and they'd hear cabinets opening and shutting. My son was actually in his room. He had like a big tower of CDs and games and stuff. And just all of a sudden, all those started flying and trying to hit him. We've seen shadow men in the hallway here. So when all this weird stuff was going on, I really can't remember how it was brought to my attention that there's a Ouija board. I can't remember if I found it or if she told me, but she did finally fess up to it that she had a Ouija board. I was like, oh my gosh, we got to get that out of here.
And when you talked to her about it, what was she using the Ouija board for?
Well, you know, she was like 13 years old and she was just doing the boy, you know, the thing with her girlfriend, you know, what boy likes me kind of thing. And, you know, nothing too serious, but
S-A-T-A. Man, that doesn't spell Santa.
Right.
So she's trying to, she's just using it like every kid would, right? Just asking right. The same old questions. Would she get responses? Did she open up to you about it once you told her what's going on?
No, I don't. We really didn't have much of a discussion about it. I just told her that this was not a good thing to have in the house and we needed to get rid of it. And I think that's what was causing all these issues here. So we did get rid of it. And I don't really remember talking with her much more about it, you know, about exactly what all they were doing with it. It was just teenager stuff.
How did you end up getting rid of it? What'd you do?
Well, I know it wasn't really the right way to do it. We just put it in the trash can. I know now that you're supposed to do all kinds of things with sea salt and holy water and all that, but
you know what? I just think it's the people that own sea salt factories that created that myth. I think if you throw it out and just get it out of your house, it'll work. That'll work just fine. As a matter of fact, if you've got Ouija boards, let me mention that for our listeners. If you have a Ouija board that you think is haunted and you want to get rid of it, reach out to me, dave@darknessradio.com, because the people that run the historic Ouija board and talking board museums are seeking those boards and the stories, and they would love for your donation to make it into theirs so that they can put it up and share the stories and let people hear about this worldwide. So if you've got a Ouija board and you want to get it out of your house, give it to the Talking Board Society, and you can reach me at dave@darknessradio.com. And whether it's an official Ouija board, a homemade witch board, whatever you've got, if you want to get rid of it safely and give the problem to somebody else, Bob Murch and his group will be happy to take it. The other thing to consider as well, they're looking for photographs. And I don't know if you have any of these at all, MJ, but they're looking for photographs. If you have photographs of yourself using the Ouija board or family members throughout history and time using the Ouija board, it could be within the last few years. It can be from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. If you have photographs, email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com, with your contact information. I'll forward them on to Bob Murch, and he will contact you about it as well, because he's looking to collect original photographs from people using and playing with the Ouija board for the Historic Society. So please do that. I hope you don't mind that little plug in there, MJ, but you know, people that are afraid and have these Ouija boards and find them in their home and want to get rid of them, that's a good way to get rid of them. And then you don't have to worry. You know, some people snap it. They'll break them, and then they're afraid that they've released the spirits, which I kind of roll my eyes about. Or you burn them, and does that release the spirits? It's corrugated plastic and cardboard. I don't think you're releasing spirits. But if you're worried about doing the wrong thing and you're all fresh out of sea salt, just put it in a box. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com. I'll take them and get them to Bob Murch, or you can send them directly to Bob Murch, and I'll connect you with that. So you got rid of the Ouija board, done it, and everything. Once you get it out of the house, did everything stop again?
Not immediately. It slowed down a little bit, but like I said, we did do a cleansing and blessing of the house a couple different times.
Okay.
And finally, it did get better.
Good. All right. Now, talk to me about the fact you've had some out-of-body experiences, right?
Right. I've had two of them.
All right. Describe them to me. What happened, and where did you go? What did you see?
Sure. The first out-of-body experience occurred when I was 3 years old, and I would have... Of course, my mother said I was dreaming, but I can't imagine that a three-year-old could really get the visual perspective that I had and the sensory perspective that I had. Mm-hmm. So what would happen I remember just standing there and putting my arms up, and I would take up into the air, and I would be flying. You know, we're out in the country. I could see the cornfields below me. I could feel the wind in my face. I could feel the weightlessness. I could see below that I was following a particular road, and I could see a factory off in the distance. And my visual perspective of it, I could see the factory. I could see there was a parking lot on one side and in the front, and I could see those parking lots. I would fly over the top of the factory. I could see a visual of what the factory looked like on its roof. And by that point in time, I would start to realize I was getting too far away from home, and I needed to go back because I, in my little brain, knew that there was a tether of some sort that was attached to my physical body that was still back at the house. And if I went too far, that tether would break, and then I would be lost. I'd fly away.
Oh, so you consciously remember having that sense. And you were 3 years old? I'm almost 50, and I can't remember what I did last week. And you remember what you did at three in a dream state.
Yes. Well, it was so realistic that plus I hurt myself later. But anyway, I'll talk about that.
okay.
So I would get to this factory, and I would make a left-hand turn knowing I had to go back. And I would look down. I could see my cousin's house. I could see the roof. I could see the cornfields again. I could see my neighborhood,
right.
What the top looked like from the roofs, and I would circle around and come back in, and I would get back into my body. Well, that was fine and well, but like the next day, I wanted to recreate that in the daylight hours. You know, I thought, well, I did it at night. I can do it in the daytime. So I had a bad tendency to try to jump off high things trying to jump. And the last time was a little too high and I kind of hurt myself. So I think that's probably why I remember it so well.
Yeah. I'm surprised your family didn't have you evaluated for mental disturbances. When old MJ is trying to jump off of high things and, parents might have missed the boat on that one, MJ. I'm just saying.
I'm sure my brothers would agree with you on that.
All right. So what about the second time?
The second time I was in my 40s and I'd had some chest pain and they were doing a stress EKG and it was a really tiny room and the treadmill was set up in a corner so that it was facing a wall. So I couldn't see anything behind me. It was just too small. I knew there was a door back there because I came through it, but I couldn't see anything else. And the EKG technician was a female. So she put me on this treadmill and gave me some medication to increase my heart rate because they wanted it to get to a certain level and they wanted to hurry up and get it done. So they gave me this medication and my heart rate started speeding up. And about that time, I could feel myself kind of floating up and out of my body. And I was at the back of the room now behind the door. I could see me on the treadmill. I could see the technician and I could see where a physician had came in and he and this technician were, I'll just say it, they were shamelessly flirting with each other, not paying any attention to the middle-aged old lady on the treadmill. And I had a thought in my head, these idiots are going to let me die. And as soon as I thought that, the physician looked up and he says, oh, that's good enough, that's good enough, we got what we need. And he rushes over and he turns the treadmill off. I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. You know, and then I was back into my body.
Wow. Okay. So when you had this and you snapped back to it, did they notice that you were gone for a little bit?
No, they had kind of a weird, worried look on their face. So I don't know if I look like near death or what. Well, but they hurried up and got me out of there and back into the emergency room and into a bed.
All right. I'm going to, at the risk of scaring the living crap out of you. I'm going to do something right now because this is one of the rare times I never do this. We never do Skype conversation where I can physically see you and you can see me. But I'm going to videotape for a few seconds while we're talking here because I want to tell you that as you've been chatting, have you got anybody standing in front of you?
No, I'm in a room with the door closed. I'm the only person in the room.
All right. Because there is a shadow, which I think people can see. I'm going to post this up, but there's a shadow of a person reflecting in your glasses.
Oh, my word.
And it's not me. I mean, I can see the computer monitor in front of you. As a matter of fact, it scared the poop out of me a little bit ago when your head moved and I saw this bald guy staring back at me and I realized it's just my reflection. And I've been reticent to say anything, but then I noticed as your face would go further away from the corner of the screen, I could see at sometimes a full three-dimensional shadow or what I figured might have been your husband or somebody standing there in front of you while you were doing this.
No, there's nobody in the room, and perhaps I need to go talk to that priest like you were talking about.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea to do that. So I'm going to have you just look straight at me real quickly into the deal and then start to move your head slowly to the left. Okay, then dip your head just a little bit. And then slowly back to the right, very slowly. I just want to see where I pick this guy up or this being up. There I am reflected back at me. Oh, what the? Holy shit. What was that?
Don't scare me like that,
Dave. Go back real slow. Well, there is somebody. Oh, my gosh. I'm not kidding you. Are you looking on your screen as well? Go back slowly now.
My picture is so little on the screen, I can't see it.
Right. Okay. Go. Who is that?
I can't see it.
Oh, all right.
Does he have red eyes?
No, just keep moving your head that way slowly. That is so bizarre. I will. I'm going to shoot you the video first so you can see it and have fun with it. I'm going to post this on YouTube. But, okay, there in the background, you could see the figure. Okay, bring your head back. Stop right there. You can see the figure standing back there, and at times it's been closer. And now it's back in the back. Now, that could just be the play of shadows in your room, but I've seen the figure look like it's right up near your glasses. But I need to play this video back and look at it for myself because it's really, really weird that I'm seeing this figure. And unfortunately, on the video, we're not going to hear MJ's voice. But as you go, wow, yeah, see, there's the figure. You, wow. You have somebody in the room with you, MJ. I'm guessing. I could be wrong. You don't have like a coat rack or anything in front of you?
I have two monitor screens and my computer I'm talking to you on. The monitor screens are blank. They're not on. And there's nothing in this room, just me.
All right. I'm gonna take a look at that. Okay, when you were looking, look slowly down at the screen again. Just bring it right to the screen so I can see my reflection in there. Okay, keep moving your head to the side. Okay, yeah. There was, so you can see what it looks like when she's looking at me in the monitor. Lift your head up a little bit again, right there, and then start moving it towards the other side again. Okay, and down. And back towards the screen. I'm sure for radio this is really great, but wait till you guys see the video. All right, I'm gonna pop this up and make a video, but I'll show it to you first, MJ. I'll send you a link to this. To kind of review and look, but at one point as you're looking over the screen, I've got to re-review it myself, but there appears to be a full face that's hovering in front of your video screen.
Oh, goodness. So, it might be what trying to mess up our session tonight.
Yes, very strange. Well, I almost don't want to stop running the video till we're done talking, very, very weird situation. Very exciting, and I apologize for the curse word there, but... really caught me off guard. It looks like something was directly in front of your glasses looking back at me.
So I'm not so crazy, huh?
Oh, no, I didn't say that you're not crazy. You're probably still crazy, but you're sharing.
Oh,
it's now okay. It's now mass group hallucination. Very weird and awkward. Sorry, audience. I'm going to put the video up for you, though, so that you can find it. I'll put a link up on our Facebook or on our Darkness Radio page. I'll have it on the front page so that you can check out the video of today's deal and what I caught, and give me your impressions. Am I crazy? Is MJ crazy? Are we all crazy? That's the fun of the paranormal. All right, I've stopped the video, and I promise, like I said, I'll send you the link to it so you can see it for yourself. But boy, am I glad I'm not living at your house tonight, MJ.
Oh, come on, Dan. We got an extra room.
Nope. I just remembered I've got this thing to do. That was weird. I'm hoping it's just a strange visual disturbance. Okay, now I'm getting weird pixelization on your camera. I should have kept running the video. Weird. All right, MJ, I'm just going to back out of the room slowly and leave you to your husband. And God bless. I hope all... Is the book out and available right now?
Yes, it's on Amazon. Uh-huh.
Okay, Amazon. Right. Okay. And when you go to buy it on Amazon, folks, it's a paranormal... My Paranormal Life, The Good, The Bad, The Aliens. Just do this. Do me a favor. Go to podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals link. And when you click on that link, find the Beyond the Darkness banner. When you click on that Beyond the Darkness banner, it'll take you to our advertisers. And you'll see a link there for Amazon UK, Amazon Canada, and Amazon United States. Click on the corresponding one. Order a copy of her book to get the full story. And when you order through that link, a small percentage of every sale goes to help keep us on the air and pay for administrative costs and more. So if you can do that, it would be greatly appreciated. And would help us a long way in continuing to keep the show inexpensive, free, and fun for all. And that's it. I thank you so much for coming on the show and giving me a really good freaky fright. Whether it's a mistake or not, this was a blast, MJ, and was worth hanging in. I'm glad we got through the initial issues. And I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight. So... I got that.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed this a lot.
MJ Myers. And again, we'll talk to you, I'm sure, in the future as you learn more about this. You can find the book, My Paranormal Life, Good, the Bad, and the Aliens on Amazon.com. We'll put a link up to that as well. Tomorrow, we're back. Chris Allen. We'll be talking about Southern Scares. We'll talk about the Curse of Savannah, the Hags, and the Skin Stealers, ghosts, ghouls, and more. On tomorrow, the best in paranormal talk radio. And remember, I'm going to be hosting Coast to Coast AM this Saturday. We're going to be taking a scientific look at the paranormal and paranormal investigating. And I really think you guys should listen to the show. It's not going to be a dry, boring science talk show, but I've got a couple of fantastic guests that will give us a different perspective on the supernatural. As a matter of fact, we played a little bit from her TED Talk a few weeks ago, and she's going to be live with me on Saturday talking about her experiences as an investigator and her own experience in the paranormal and what the real danger was. And then we'll be talking with a professor out of Canada who spent a better part of a year investigating Sasquatch, ghosts, and alien encounters to try to get a better understanding on people that believe in the supernatural. So that's what's going to be happening Saturday on Coast to Coast AM. Check it out, coasttocoastam.com/stations to find stations in your area. And remember, tonight, you can go listen to Coast. They're on 7 days a week, the best in overnight talk radio. And tonight, they're going to be talking about climate change and extinction with Peter Ward as the special guest. And then there'll be a second half guest as well tonight. So go check it out. Find out about all the strange deals with climate change, melting ice caps, asteroid impacts, dying oceans, and mass extinction. You know, all the fun, friendly fare of the week. That's it for this evening. Be safe, be kind, love one another. And we'll be back again tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.